Aloha and welcome to Overcoming Addictions and Experiencing Total Freedom in 21 Days. My name's Nick Good, and I'm with my dear brother and colleague, Michael McIntosh. You want to say
Aloha.
hello, Michael?
Yeah, wonderful to be here. Super stoked to be on this call, sharing about how to free yourself from addictions in 21 days.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We are the creators of Superhero Training, the one and only, helping people just like you all over the world release themselves from all kinds of hang-ups and insecurities, fears, and addictions. We're both international best-selling authors. We live amazing lives, and guess what? We both freed ourselves from addiction patterns. So we have lots of qualifications, experience, and good juju and honest to goodness advice to share with you, do we not, Brother Michael?
Absolutely. We've gone through hell and back on a number of occasions to get where we are today. And if we're honest, every one of us on some level has some kind of addiction, whether it's big or small. And these addictions are holding us back from our full power in the world. So if you're ready to free yourself from a grip of addiction, and if you feel you're not fully living your dreams and you're not fully showing up for yourself in your life because of these addictions, then you're in the right place. So what are you going to hear in this call, Nick? What are we going to talk about?
Well, we're going to be talking about lots of things. They're going to be discovering how to break free from an addiction in 21 days. 21 days. That's quite a short space of time if you've been stuck in addiction. And how to experience total freedom and claim back the life that you really want to live. I'm also going to be sharing the four deeply hidden patterns in your psyche that have hijacked your life. Very interesting stuff. Not many people know about these things. Also, the fastest and easiest, most relaxing way to dissolve those patterns forever. We're actually going to be experiencing that on this call tonight.
And you're going to learn how to completely fill yourself with that sense of achievement, sense that you have actually have attained the things that you want through spiritual practice, so that you don't feel the need to keep running around after these addictive behaviors and these different things that you think you need, because you actually feel full and complete on the inside. And you're going to learn how to let go of stress, the stress of addiction, to drive your goals and dreams and your highest aspirations. And you're going to learn the single most powerful attitude to dissolve all your addictions forever, and the fastest, most effective strategy to deal with stress instantaneously.
Well, I like the sound of that. And we're going to be sharing a powerful deep relaxation protocol based on the most effective psychological conditionings, protocols, strategies that have ever been created. And this is not mind over matter. This is all about you familiarizing yourself with the most important facet of your own life, and that is your psyche. Once you really get familiar with that and you understand the nature of it and how to exercise it like you would your physical body, and it's a quite a revelation to many people that addiction is a sign of deep-seated psycho-emotional dis-ease. So we're going to be sharing a very relaxing way to liberate ourselves absolutely from that. Sounds good, eh, brother?
Sounds awesome. And you're going to experience, the bliss The bliss is basically what allows you to get free of addiction. You're going to learn how to tap into those higher states that you get from the addiction temporarily. How can you tap into those things without all of those various substances and situations so that you can feel them inside of yourself? So we're going to be giving you the solutions to basically break free from something that may have taken you, I don't know, 20 years, 30 years. Some people have been addicted to various substances or various things their whole lives after a certain age, and it hasn't gone away yet. So our aim is that you free yourself from these things starting today, if you're ready. So I think the main question is, are you ready? And Nick, why don't you do us a little prayer just to get people ready, just to allow that amazing grace to come through, to open everyone listening to being ready fully to this shift, because breaking free from addiction is a big deal. It's a life-changing event.
It is indeed, brother. It is indeed. Okay, so I want to invite you all listening to bring your hands together in front of your heart. Put your hands together in front of your heart. Just close your eyes for a moment and just take a few soft, gentle, deep breaths. And I want you to concentrate your focus inside of yourself. And just consider for a moment the pain and the stress that your addiction is causing and has been causing in your life. The pain and stress that you have endured and the pain and stress that other people have endured. You've caused the misery you've caused and the misery you've endured. Just touch into that for a moment and be really, really, really honest about that. And I want you to use that wound. Use that wound. Use that tenderness to connect with the spirit of life inside of you that's lapping now like an eternal ocean. The spirit of life is lapping against the shores of your soul. And it wants you to merge with it. It wants you to experience its peace. It wants you to experience its love. It wants you to experience its nourishment. It wants to fill you with the real thing. And you can only find it within yourself. And you have to reach for it with your heart, with your tender heart. So use the gift of addiction. Use the gift of the pain. Use the gift of the stress to drive you away from the outer world inside. And just honestly reach in the name of love. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of love, hallelujah. In the name of love. Almighty Mother, Father, God, we are your children, your humble children. In the name of love. We are gathered here today in our innocence, our humility, offering our hearts, minds, bodies, and soul to you. Through the amazing grace of the Holy Spirit. Calling upon the amazing grace of the Holy Spirit in the name of love. May this call transform absolutely the lives of all the people that are listening to it, that are ready and willing to do what it takes to keep moving closer and closer to you, so that they become fuller and fuller and fuller of your love, your light, your truth, your peace, and your power manifesting in this world form in the name of the love, through the amazing grace of the Holy Spirit, for the highest good of all beings, forever and ever and ever, in the name of love. Hallelujah. Amen. Very nice. So while you keep listening to this call, keep one hand on your heart and keep breathing the holy breath. Keep breathing the whole spirit of life because you're connected to it now. Keep breathing it into you and fill yourself up from the inside like you're blowing a balloon up. Just keep filling yourself up with the breath and try and concentrate on the breath all the way through this call. Over to you, Michael.
So for us to truly free ourselves from addictions of any kind, whether it's a drug addiction, alcohol addiction, sex addiction, TV addiction, could be any kind of addiction whatsoever. You know what your own addiction is. First thing we need to understand clearly is a big myth. And the big myth, we need to break this myth. What it is that we have been told, we might even think ourselves, that we're actually addicted to the thing. We're addicted to the substance. We're addicted to the person. We're addicted to the activity, to the behavior. We think we're addicted to the things. We think, I need that thing, I need that thing, I need that thing. Truth is, we are not addicted to the thing at all. What we are addicted to, what we are seeking, what we are wanting, is actually a state of consciousness. What we want is a higher state of awareness, a higher state of consciousness. When you play out that addictive behavior, you reach an altered state. Your aim for doing it is because you want to reach an altered state. You want to get out of this low-level depression or this anxiety or this stress or the pain or the whatever it is. Just tune into what the pain is for you. When you're feeling the addiction, when you're feeling the need to act out, what is it that you're actually feeling in that moment? You know, Nick just took us in a little meditation, a little prayer there. Just tune into that again. When you're feeling the cravings, how does that feel? What is the actual pain that you're feeling? And we can use that to propel you against it. And then when you actually get your hands on the substance or the thing, or you act out the addiction and you get what you think you want, what do you feel then? What is it that you actually feel when you have your needs met, when you have got the thing that you want? You've had the drink, the drug, the whatever it is. What is it that you feel afterwards? What you're feeling on some level is a higher state of consciousness. And in a sense, what we're doing is we want to connect with God. All addictions are a deep desire in the soul to connect with a higher power, to connect with God, to connect with peace. So the first thing we have to realize is that we're not actually addicted to any substance. So it doesn't matter what the addiction is. You could say it's a crack addiction, a coke addiction, a heroin addiction, alcohol addiction, a television addiction, a text message addiction. It doesn't really matter how trivial or how severe it is. You're actually addicted to feeling something else. And this is absolutely crucial, because it means that you can free yourself from these addictions by feeling the feelings and experiencing the experiences that you want to experience. And this makes it a lot easier for you to start to realize how you can get out of it. You want to say something, Nick?
Yeah, I agree absolutely. And we can be addicted to all kinds of things, but really there is only one thing that we're addicted to. And when we find that thing, we really realize, and that's what it kind of makes us laugh and liberates us from everything else, because we're going through for such a counterfeit replacement of the real thing, and all of this outward projection into the world, and getting caught up in all the stuff. And the things and the substances, and the modern world that we're living in is so discordant and so toxic and in a sense repulsive to our own spirit, that we will literally do anything to shift out of the mind-numbing insanity of giving all of our energy to this world, to this material world. We'll do anything. We'll drink alcohol till it makes us just, you know, absolutely vomit. We'll watch the most, you know, ridiculous Pathetic excuses for entertainment will fill our minds with the most discordant vibrations that pass as music. We'll have, you know, mundane, trivial conversations that just drain us. We'll be in, you know, toxic relationships, meaningless jobs. I mean, you know, people's lives, their whole lives are full of this pain. And so they will do anything to numb themselves for feeling that. Eating junk, obsession with games and videos. And, you know, I remember seeing the alcoholics, you know, licking the boot polish. When I was growing up as a kid, the boot polish we used to use for, you know, polishing our boots had some kind of alcohol solvent in there. And the alcoholics, if they couldn't get anything to drink, they'd be licking the boot polish. You know, this black polish that you polish your shoes with. I remember when I was in New Zealand, a lot of the local Islander kids were glue sniffers. And they'd walk around, they'd carry plastic bags around them with the most toxic glue solvents in there and taking big snorts on this stuff. And indigenous cultures, you know, their addiction patterns are hideous, because they are even more connected to their souls than the domesticated, white Westerner style. So our addictions can be more socially acceptable and more subtle, perhaps, but theirs are glaringly obvious. But it's the same thing. It's the repulsion of the spirit, the agony of the soul, and the actions of the personality reflecting that in doing anything and everything to prevent itself from facing that truth and admitting that and feeling that pain for a moment. But what we're going to show you today is how to turn that all around. And we're not playing games anymore. We're not dressing this up in some like politically acceptable way of communicating these things. We haven't got time to faff around anymore. We have to wake up. We have to get real. The signs all around us are just too severe for us to ignore this anymore. It's just time to be really, really honest with ourselves. Is it not, brother?
Absolutely time. And just realize that the pain that we feel, the pain that you're experiencing in addiction, is actually a sign, a very powerful sign from the universe to change. So what happens is pain comes as a whisper when you first get into some sort of addiction or you get into some kind of situation you don't like. You get a feeling that you need to change it. If you don't listen to it, then the pain gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And what tends to happen is people ignore. We've all been ignoring the pain and numbing the pain rather than actually facing the pain and dealing with it. And this is really what we're getting to here, is it's now time to stop numbing the pain and ignoring pain and start facing it, dealing with it, and changing it. And like what Nick was saying a minute ago, we're living in a very sick world, very sick culture. And I do a lot of personal coaching with people, and I often find people basically sharing with me all their problems and what's going on and how they feel weird in the world. And a lot of the time I have to remind people that there's nothing really wrong with them, in the sense that they're a beautiful soul, they're a beautiful being. It's just that when we live in a sick world and everyone around us is dysfunctional and we've adopted all these weird ways of living, when we live in this world and we keep living in it for months and years and months and years, we feel fundamentally there's something wrong with us. We feel we're not good enough. We feel that we're not doing enough. We feel this. We should be more confident. We feel that we're never really getting anywhere. We feel people are judging us. We feel there's always something wrong with us, right? Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with us. We're living in a sick, toxic world that's making us feel sick, and we got no way of getting out of it until we actually change our lives. And Nick and myself both have actually made enormous shifts in our life when we said we're not going to go along with this culture anymore. We're not going to try and fit in anymore. We're actually going to break free of it completely. live our own life. And as soon as you start doing that, you notice that your life immediately gets better, and these addictions don't mean anything because you're living in harmony with yourself and with life. So just understand, if you're feeling addicted or you're feeling not good enough, it's actually not your fault, in the sense that you're living in this sick world, and it's like living in a cage.
Yeah. And there's
literally like living in a cage. And if you put, like, for example, in the zoo, look at the animals in the zoo. Take them in back into nature and they're happy. Put them in a zoo where they can't move around, they're unnatural. They all get depressed. They die
neurotic.
Early. Yeah, we're living in a zoo here.
Yeah, and Richard Hawkins has a beautiful quote. Is it Richard Hawkins?
David Hawkins?
David Hawkins has a fabulous quote. And he says, when he's talking about depression and antidepressants, how many kids are on antidepressants these days? There's no antidepressant that can cure a spiritual malaise. In other words, a spiritual disease. And he says that depression is an accurate response to the desecration of life. So we can feel everything. And just because we're well adjusted to a sick and insane, toxic modern culture, we shouldn't get too excited about that. It's because we can, you know, we're still functional, and we can still pay the bills, and we can still feed the kids or whatever. And we've adapted to this dysfunctional thing. We shouldn't get too excited about that. And inside of us, we can all feel this, the angst of the world. We can feel the suffering of souls. And most souls in the world are suffering. The vast majority of the population of the planet Earth at the moment are suffering. They are under a terrible, terrible time. And it's increasing. That number is increasing daily. And for the first time in modern history, certainly this generation, we are beginning to experience this thing coming closer and closer and closer to and in invading and imposing itself, infiltrating our daily lives. And so we need to do something about this. And this is a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual malaise, and therefore it's a spiritual cure that is the only effective solution. And that's what we champion. That's what we are all about. And that's what the superhero training is all about. It's how to bring in practical spirituality, no BS, real deal, hardcore, best life ever stuff into your daily life, so that all of these things that are very, very real, they don't affect you. And you are living in a bubble of grace, which is what you need to be in order to actually birth and receive the full gift of your addiction and birth your destiny, the real reason you're here in these times, in this place, and actually live life, maybe for the first time in your life, the way it's supposed to be lived, and start experiencing the feelings of liberation from all of that other stuff before. And this is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time.
So awesome. I love what you just said there, bro, about depression is an accurate gauge.
Response to the desecration of life.
Yeah, this is what it comes down to. And so what our aim is here is to free you, help you free yourself, really, from being in that lower state. And rather than what normally happens in addiction is they get moved from one to the next. So someone gives up one addiction and just immediately gets another one. You know, it's like goes from alcohol to tons and tons of food, you know, and then from tons of food it becomes back to sort of like some kind of drugs, and then it goes to maybe people, and then it's people nowadays, guess what they're addicted to? their telephones. Has anyone noticed that people looking at their phone pretty much all day long? I was in a health food store yesterday. I just looked around and there was like three people standing in the middle of the health food store looking at their phone. I'm like, what's going on here? Like, everyone's in this trance, right? So we want to help you snap out from this. And if you're not feeling really happy about your life and loving your life, you know, it's because you live in this sick culture and numbing ourselves. We want to stop numbing ourselves. It's important to be able to feel your own pain, you know. When I feel pain, I lie down on the bed and I say, give it to me hardcore. I want all the pain. I can handle the pain and I'll feel tremendous amounts of pain in myself. And it's good for me because it snaps me out of whatever I'm spinning out in. If I run around trying to numb the pain through addictions, then I'll never actually change my life. So if you're not basically happy and you're not on your mission, then it's all right. You know, at least feel the pain of it and now we can change it. And that's what superhero training is all about. That's what our lives are dedicated to. So let's talk a few little stories, shall we, so you can get an idea where we're coming from. And then we're going to share with you some practical things you can do. I'll just share a quick story with you. When I was, how old was I? I think I started smoking cigarettes, I think when I was about 10. I remember just living in just England, it's just a weird culture. And I remember feeling like there's something not quite right about life the whole time. I've always felt there's something wrong with the world, actually. And I always felt I didn't quite fit in. I always felt there's something that I wasn't quite happy about. Remember, as soon as I could get my hands on any kind of mind-altering or substance-altering things, I went for it. When I was about 13, started smoking cannabis. That was a magical experience. I remember going into a field with my friends, smoking these little... they made this, like, got a biro pen, a plastic pen, put a little bit of gauze on the end, and smoking weed through this little pen. And in this forest... And I remember taking hits off this little thing and nothing was happening to me at all. I was like, this isn't working. And all of a sudden, I remember having this, like, going into an altered state. And I'd never felt so happy in my life up to that point. So cannabis put me into, like, this higher state of consciousness, this deeper state of being that I hadn't experienced. And once I experienced that, I immediately became addicted to re-experience that over and over and over again, because otherwise life was basically boring to me. And I remember walking through this field, first time I ever got stoned, walking through this field going, oh my God, this is so amazing, and just checking out all the trees and just like being in this altered reality. And I was like, this is what it's all about. And I didn't realize that I could tap into that state by myself at the time, you know, because I was only 13. But basically, from there on, I basically became a complete addict. All I could think about was, where could I get more cannabis from? And then I got into drinking alcohol. Then I got into taking LSD, magic mushrooms, ecstasy, cocaine. I never did crack. I never did heroin, luckily. I always felt there's something wrong about those things. Speed, lots of, it's all sorts of different drugs. And the reason I wanted to take all these drugs was because they put me in an altered state that I much preferred to be in. You know, I wanted to connect with that higher consciousness. It made me feel much more alive, basically. I got to the point where, when I was 18, after five years of constant drug use, that it wasn't working anymore. It wasn't working for me. So I'd have all the best drugs. So I've always been like a purist. So I'd have the best quality cannabis, the best of everything. I always somehow get my hands on the best stuff. And I always want the best. Even now, I want the best of everything. Except it's not drugs that I'm going for. It's higher consciousness and like lifestyle that I have the best of. But back in those days, it was drugs. So I had the best of the drugs, and it didn't make any difference. And whenever I took drugs, not only did it not get me high, it made me feel bad. It made me feel worse. So for some reason, all the drugs actually didn't do anything for me. I remember sitting there on the sofa, like having consumed large amounts of intoxicants, and I'm just sitting there going, nothing happening. And it was this really annoying experience. And then I decided to learn meditation. My mother kept talking to me about meditation, and I knew that if I did meditation, I'd end up giving up drugs, and I wasn't ready. But when I was finally ready to actually experience something else, because I was feeling so depressed, I was feeling so down, and my life didn't have any meaning, and all I was doing is chasing after drugs, I realized, all right, let me do this. So I remember sitting in there, first time I did meditation, I sat down with my mother and some friends. She did a little guided meditation, and I was literally pulled outside my body, and it was an extremely life-changing event. It was like I was literally pulled out of my body. I experienced myself in white light everywhere, all around me. And I saw myself standing at a crossroads in my life, literally, like I was walking down this path, this beautiful path, and there was two paths that I could take now for the first time. This kind of broke into two paths. And one path was carrying on the way I was, doing drugs and like trying to get stuff and like grab my hands on things and want, gimme. And I saw myself 2 years if I carried on the way I was, and I'd be more depressed, more lost, wasting my life, settling for less, being a caged animal in this sick world. And then I saw this completely different path I'd never experienced before, where I was beaming, where I was all light around me, I was in surrounded with white light, experiencing profound peace and inner freedom and true joy. And I saw myself 2 years in the future in that state. And I actually made a choice in that moment inside, in this weird altered world that I'd arrived in, to take that second path. And I took the first step on that path, and I felt all this power returning to me, and I felt all this grace coming back to me, and I felt my whole body had changed. And then I, for some reason, came back into my physical body, and I don't know how long I'd been out for. It seemed like I'd been gone for like hours, but it might have been just like even a second. Came back, everyone else was just sitting there in a room. I don't think anyone even else knew what was going on. But from that moment on, my life radically changed. I gave up drugs, started doing meditation, started connecting with God. I actually felt like this massive power coming over me. Completely changed my life, blew everything out, hardly saw anyone for like 7 months. And it's changed my life completely, permanently, and freed me from all these addictions, and ended up here I am serving people all over the world now. And superhero training and all these programs has come out of that experience ultimately. If I hadn't had that experience, I wouldn't be talking to you today. So this is how powerful that one experience could literally change my life permanently. And that's what we want you to experience in your own life. And that's what this call is about.
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing, bro. So fear, addiction can come in all kinds of disguises. And we can have addiction to all kinds of substances. But there's also deeper addictions, as addictions to our story and our physical form, our identity, our personality, our ego. We think this is I am Nick Good, the great Nick Good, international author, life coach, motivator, inspiring thousands, millions of people all over the world, blah, blah, blah. We can become completely addicted to our story and our persona, our identity, but that's not who we are. And that identity, that ego, lives in fear. At the core of it, underneath everything, what's motivating it is its own fear. And if you're really honest about that, you'll understand that that is true. And so I was very definitely addicted to fear. Now, some addictions we don't choose. Some of us are born with addictions. In a mother's womb that was smoking 40, 60 cigarettes a day and washing it all down with a bottle of whiskey. And you might come out the womb so messed up that you're basically addicted to all kinds of stuff and so distorted and toxic before you can even walk. And I was one of those children. I was born in a generation where this kind of thing was entirely possible, especially where I was growing up. And then I just happened to be born into a haunted house that had a real ghost in it. And that because of the presence of the ghost, it opened up the portal to the lower astral plane. And through that portal, on specific days of the year, which coincided with certain rituals and bizarre practices that the powers that be in that part of the world and many other parts of the world would get up to on these days and nights, other fascinating creatures, entities and forms would come through the portal. And it wasn't just this little ghost who was he wasn't at all malevolent. He was just a sad little chap who was stuck somehow in this house. But these other things would come through. And these other things terrorized me when I was a child. Quite literally terrorized me. Spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, and physically. And this was a very, very, very difficult thing for me to deal with through years and years and years. And so it instilled in me a massive terror. And when you, whatever habit you get into, especially before you're 6 years old, in the first 6 years, you are basically going to have to deal with for the rest of your life. That's when all the conditioning goes in. So I was addicted to fear. One of my addictions, I say the foundation underneath it all. And so I spent, my earlier years, my younger years, up into young manhood, doing basically the scariest, most terrifying things I can imagine to do to feed my addiction to fear, which obviously was subconscious, but that's what I was doing. So I was jumping off things and going into massive waves that I had no business to be in, traveling all over the world, fighting the most violent men that I could possibly find, playing rugby with monsters, and just generally trying to face my fear. And eventually I started having a spiritual awakening, and I was able to enter into realms that most people aren't even aware of that exist, and confront the creatures in there that had been terrorizing me when I was a young boy. And I wasn't frightened of them at all. And I expressed myself extremely violently in those experiences. And eventually, after going through this movement within my psyche, I met a couple of Christian surfers, professional surfers, who for me at that time were higher beings. They were definitely higher beings. They were on a higher level of consciousness, and they lived in a much higher, purer life than I did. They were professional surfers, so they spent most of their time in the ocean. They'd been doing this since they were 6 or 7 years old. They were brilliant athletes, world-class athletes, both of them Australian champions and went on to be world champions. They were also good fighters. I used to spar with them, box with them, wrestle with them. They were really into healthy food. They were growing wheatgrass and sprouts and macrobiotics. They also smoked hash and cannabis, and they loved girls, and they also read the Bible, practiced yoga, and studied teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda, and they loved Jesus. So this was all, the spiritual element was news to me at the time in this form, but everything else was really, really, really good news for me. And because they were cool, it allowed me, it opened the door for me to meet Jesus for the first time in my life and to start studying the Bible, which is an amazing spiritual book with a lot of hidden spiritual truths in it. It's also a kind of a wired, a booby-trapped device that if you take it the wrong way, you are going to, you know, basically blow yourself up. You're going to really do yourself some damage and probably a lot of other people, as you may have noticed how the so-called Christians have been carrying on in the world, going back to the conquistadors coming up through South America and decimating the indigenous cultures, the Spanish Inquisition, the witch trials and the whole purging of Europe in the Middle Ages. This is all the work of the Roman Catholic Church, the Holy Roman Empire. And this is a dreadful, dreadful, dreadful history where they're waving the Bible at the front of the whole thing. And that distortion of Jesus's simple, pure spiritual teachings, which are integrated into superhero training all the way through it, that distortion of that continues to this day. And there is a dreadful, dreadful battle going on for not just your mind, but your soul. And this is very, very, very serious subject that we shed a lot of light on in a nice, light-hearted and uplifting way in superhero training. Anyway, I was introduced to this possibility when I was when I met these guys, and I jumped into it, and I got right into it. And I've always been someone who goes into things with an open mind, doesn't just buy into everything and start following the guru or the dogma or whatever it is. And you know, my eyes are open from the experiences that I had in my childhood, from the otherworldly, the other dimensional experiences that I had. They're wide open, and so I went to this thing. And for years, I studied the Bible, and I still do. I was reading the Bible today, and I'm stoked I'm into the Bible. I'm stoked that I understand it and can glean the distortions and the untruths in there, and glean the living word out of it, which is so uplifting and such good news. And anyway, I carried on studying this thing after I met these guys and started to get this relationship going with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And one day, when I was 35 years old, I returned to England because my dad and my brother were both diagnosed with cancer. And the very first night I spent in England, I woke in the middle of the night, and there were two extremely intimidating, hideous beings from this lower astral world in my bedroom, standing there, just licking their lips and looking at me. And I just sang them a little Jesus song that we used to sing before we went into church, and rolled over on my side, giggling, and went off to sleep. And that was the end of my addiction to fear of these of evil and all its manifestations. And it's a testimony of a spiritual nourishment flowing into you that's so real that it lifts you up out of the vibrational realm where these things exist. And this world and all of these things that we're addicted to, that keep us in this lower vibrational realm, because we are addicted. If we will only turn within ourselves, do the necessary simple work that we're going to share later in this call, we can dismantle the structures that are keeping us imprisoned in that cage that Michael was telling us about, and flood ourselves with this very, very real, all-powerful, almighty, wonderful, wonderful nourishment that thousands of spiritual teachers have communicated and dedicated and devoted their lives to being nourished by, and communicating this and sharing the good news of this. When we get that nourishment, we are literally lifted up. And this is going on to a different vibrational frequency, a different wavelength, a different energy form, where we are absolutely in the grace of life, which is where we're supposed to be. And so addiction plays a really good part in this world in terms of giving us a challenge that is difficult enough that befits the power that we have at our disposal in order for us to prove to ourselves how powerful this life is, this love is, this grace is. We have to have a challenge that's sufficiently challenging for us to demonstrate it. And this is what all those wonderful stories are about that me and Michael love so much. And that's why we call this training the superhero training.
Mm. Yeah, and just remember that this is something for everyone. You know, my father actually was a priest, so I was surrounded with Christian upbringing my whole life. But for some reason, it was kind of pushed upon me, and I didn't really resonate with the whole thing. It didn't actually mean anything to me until I had my own experience of God and divinity, which was like an organic experience. And that's what we're going to encourage you to do. It's like everyone has their own connection, and our job is to discover what that is. Your job is to discover what is your personal relationship and how can you tune into it. For me, I remember I was sitting down on a chair once after I had these visions, and I was like, okay, well, let me experience God fully, you know, whoever you are, whatever's going on. And I didn't really know what I was doing, but I remember sitting there on this chair, and I don't remember exactly what happened because it was a long time ago. But I don't know how this occurred, but I just remember sitting there, and all of a sudden I felt this waterfall of powerful love, intense, intense, intense bliss and love flowing through me. And it was so powerful, it was so deep and so moving that I almost fell off my chair. Like I could barely handle it. It's like sitting under a waterfall and it's just blasting through, blasting through, blasting through. And that experience of completely immersed in love, completely blessed, and completely full, you know, being absolutely packed and full to the top, every single part of my being filled to the top. This is what's changed my life. And this is what you can experience in your own way. And that's the only way really for you to get out of these addictions, is to fill yourself up. And that's what superhero training and what we're sharing is all about. How do you become full on the inside so that you can truly break free from the matrix, from the old systems, from the old patterns, and live the life that you came here to live.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, brother.
Praise the Lord. So let's talk about these
hidden patterns
hidden
in the
patterns,
psyche.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's very, very fascinating. We work with a certain model at Superhero Training in order to be able to communicate, you know, certain dynamics. We have to use a certain model so that you can get a picture in your mind what we're actually talking about. Else we're just into, you know, abstract ideas. So your psyche basically is your subconscious and unconscious mind. Your subconscious and unconscious mind is the gateway into your soul. Your soul is a feeling entity, but it also has intelligence. It doesn't think, but it has intelligence and feeling. Your psyche as a human being is the gateway into that realm. Now, when you develop an ego, so when you start identifying with your physical body and calling that who you are, this is Nick Good, my physical form, and that is who I am, instead of I am a spiritual being projecting a physical form into a physical world for the purposes of exploration and education, you might say. Once I've forgotten who I am and I'm completely in the physical world and the ego, I have developed an ego. With the ego, automatically, it goes with the deal, there is an archetypal pattern in there. That pattern is composed of a wounded child, a victim, a prostitute, and a saboteur. These are the four major archetypal patterns, which all the lesser archetypes, and there's many, many of them, there's all kinds of different archetypes, the hero, the princess, the this, the that. But the four major ones that all of your dysfunctional behavior, all of your ego expression, and case in point addiction, it is a manifestation, an expression of one or a combination of these four archetypes. So, let's look at addiction. Major addiction in the world today is food. Okay? People obsessed by food, overeating, obesity is at epidemic proportions. United States of America, consumption, consumption, consumption. The obsession with shoveling stuff inside of us and get more, 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 more. That is a manifestation of prostitution. The prostitute archetype in full expression. Prostitution is when we give our power away to something outside of ourselves. Addiction is a form of prostitution. It's the prostitute archetype in motion. The wounded child. Some people are addicted to therapy. I said before, there's deeper patterns, not necessarily substance. There's my story. So my story, oh, my dad beat me up when I was 6 years old and, you know, told me I was useless and never amount to anything. You know, that's why I can't get a job and, you know, I haven't got the, you know, the get up and go to set my own business up or whatever. You know, I don't have confidence in myself. And this guy might be 50 years old. That's a wounded child. In manifestation, the saboteur is the sabotaging element, the negative thoughts, the negativity in our own minds. We can't do this. You can't do that. I haven't got enough money. I'm not qualified enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not slim enough. Whatever it is, sabotaging patterns, subtly sabotaging your life, food addiction. Prostitution and sabotage. All forms of addiction. Prostitution and sabotage. Forms of addiction where you're numbing yourself to a wound. Wounded child, prostitute and saboteur. The victim, the other fourth one of the pattern, is the part of you that thinks you can't do anything about it. The victim is the woman who will stay in an abusive relationship, getting beaten up by a drunken husband, you know, three or four nights a week, and the kids getting abused, but will not leave because she can't imagine a possible a way out. She doesn't have anywhere to go. She doesn't know anyone. Who she does know is too far away. And she can't see a possibility. She doesn't have the faith in something that can, you know, the life will work for her. That's a victim pattern in manifestation. A victim, again, is a major component in the addiction phenomena. So these hidden patterns in our psyche are archetypal. We didn't invent them. We didn't develop them. They are part of the deal. They're hardwired into the ego construct. And so what we need to do, well, you want to talk about the fastest and most easiest and most relaxing way to dissolve those patterns forever right now. Mike, or do you want to share something?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk a little bit about those patterns. And as soon as we see ourselves as I am a, anytime we say I am a something, yeah, as long as you add that I am a, like I am, you know, an author, I am, you know, not good enough, I am a teacher, I am a man, I am a woman. As soon as you add that I am a anything, then it's your ego. And we're living in a culture where everyone is talking to you as if you are the person you see in the mirror. So whatever you're looking at in the mirror, if you think I am that person over there, then these archetypes are in operation and they're going to be getting bigger and bigger and bigger. As a spiritual practice, we actually come back. What is before that? Who are you before and after death? Before you were born and after you die, who are you then? Mm-hmm. Right? That is who you are now. Whatever you were before you were born and after you die is actually who you are today. And this body and all these different roles, all of that's changing. You know, like you can lose your job, you can lose this, that, and the other. All these things can change. And superhero training is about liberating yourself from these limitations and these archetypes. You know, this is all very deep stuff, so we can't actually go into too much depth right now in this call because this is an enormous topic. We go into this in much more detail, but you know, hopefully you're getting the idea that there's things going on inside of you that are not obvious, that are affecting the way you think, the way you see the world, and what you think is possible for you. So the main thing for us is to get back, to return back to these higher states of consciousness. That's the whole thing, you know. We need to understand what's going on so that we can do something about it, at least have clarity, but then we need to take that clarity and actually apply it and do something about it. So let's talk a little bit about how do we get over this this experience. And one of the things that we talked about in this call is the fastest and most relaxing way to dissolve all these patterns forever. There are actually a few powerful things we do, and we're going to share some of them with you now, and some of them you'll learn in superhero training, and we haven't got time to go into all the detail. First thing to do is actually just to learn how to breathe in peace. Right? Let's just take a few breaths right now, because most people actually aren't breathing properly and they're certainly not breathing in peace. So let's start the practice today, right here and right now. So why don't you put your hand on your heart? Go ahead, put your hand on your heart. And really take the deepest breath you've taken all year, right now. The deepest breath you've taken in the whole year, in the whole last year. Deep and nourishing breath. Really breathe in. Just feel the breath, just the physical breath for now. Just actually breathe. Allow yourself to feel to feel full as you breathe. Allow yourself to actually fill your lungs and feel that fullness, that physical fullness. And then as you breathe out, just letting go, just relaxing and releasing. You'll notice yourself feeling a sense of relief as you just do this simple practice. And now we're just going to take this a little bit further. As you breathe in, imagine you're breathing in spiritual light. Imagine you're breathing in spiritual nourishment, beautiful white light. And then, next time you breathe in, just hold it for a moment and just say to yourself in your heart, thank you, thank you, thank you to life. Just be so grateful. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then when you're ready, just breathe out and just release that gratitude into the world. So what we're going to do is we're going to breathe in that light. We're going to hold the breath and say thank you, thank you, thank you from the heart, feeling your heart. And then as you breathe out, we're going to be releasing your gratitude into the world, you know, sharing your giving, your thanks and praise, because you're extremely blessed. We're all massively blessed, and it's time for us to realize how blessed we are. So let's just take a few breaths in this way. Just really go for this right now. We're going to go into more in detail in superhero training, but this is going to be a good start for you. Breathing in, giving thanks. Smiling as you give thanks. Big smile on your face. You might as well smile a bit more often. And then letting go and saying thank you and letting it out. Breathing in the light, smiling, giving thanks, and letting go. So do three more smiling, thankful breaths. Fantastic. In superhero training, both Nick and myself actually have a in detailed breath process for the guided meditation that takes this much, much deeper. But just to get you started, actually start breathing. Most people don't breathe properly, don't breathe fully at all, ever. It's shallow breaths. In Hawaii, they call the white people, when they first came, they call them howlies, which means no breath. They noticed that the people coming over to Hawaii didn't breathe.
And it also, ha in haole also means spirit. So without breath, without spirit. The old Hebrew word for breath and spirit was exactly the same. And in superhero training, we're into inspiration. And so the breath is a central anchor in it all. But it's this relationship through the breath of love and gratitude to this living God, this great spirit of life. We're not talking about some, human form creator God or a demigod that, you know, has a physical body and walks about. We're talking about the spirit of life, the essence of life itself, what it's all about this invisible goodness that we can connect with and commune with within ourselves. And we can bring it into this world, into our physical bodies, through our love and gratitude. And our breath can act as a conduit to that. And we can fill our whole bodies with this inspiration. And this is what we're really into embodying, this wonderful living spiritual energy, not rhetoric and dogma and ideas and all of this blah, 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 blah stuff. We're into becoming more and more and more alive. And as we do this, the nourishment that comes from it puts our addictions in context. And we can recognize how counterfeit and false and what a pathetic excuse of a substitute these addictions all were for this living goodness that we are now becoming more full and full and full of, until really all we want to do is dedicate our lives to becoming more and more and more nourished with that. And Brother Michael and I, Michael's going to tell you in a moment about how to feel full and complete within yourself through spiritual practice. But Brother Michael and I, for years on end, and still do, we're getting up at ridiculously early morning hours and spending hours and hours and hours in communion, or at least attempting to be in communion, preparing ourselves, getting hold of our minds, learning how to discipline ourselves and how to hold ourselves in an appropriate way so we could be filled by this amazing grace. We were really committed on that. Mm. And once you've broken through, it just becomes your nature. So you can just tap into that anytime, any place, anywhere at will.
That's right. And, you know, another thing I just want to share briefly, we're going to go into this in more detail in superhero training. I've literally been doing meditation now for about 16 years, you know, for hours a day, you know, getting up early. And so I've done a large amount of meditation and experienced lots of amazing experiences, and I had to deal with myself, because when you get up early in the morning, you actually have to face your addictions, you have to face your madness and your weirdness and your dark side and all this sticky nasty shit, you know. It's like, it's not very pleasant to look at all that deeper stuff. But at the end of the day, we might as well look at it and face it and change it, otherwise it's going on. So the Sibiro training on what we're doing here is helping you look at the stuff, that sticky stuff, and shift it. And one thing I found personally in all these years of meditation is that my personal most powerful spiritual practices, what actually gets the result, is a practice I called being the moon, right? And let's just take a moment just to experience this real quick. We're going to go into this in more detail in the training, but let's just do it quickly. Take about 3 minutes. All right, so just imagine you are in a plane, you just fly above your body, fly above the world, and go into space. Just imagine yourself in space. You are now in space, you're now in space, you're now looking down at the world, okay? And the sun is there. The sun is blazing, the power of the sun. And this isn't just the normal sun, this is the spiritual sun. Infinite bliss, infinite power, infinite light, infinite love, infinite grace, blasting you. And imagine the moon, imagine a full moon. Full moon. What is the full moon like? The full moon lights up the world. You can read a book in the full moon. The full moon brings light. The full moon is radiating the power of the sun onto the earth. And now imagine you are the moon. You are the moon, and all you're doing is gracefully radiating, reflecting the power of the sun onto the earth. You are that moon reflecting the sun. You're not doing anything. You're just there blasting the light onto the earth. So just feel yourself now. Feel yourself. Enjoy this radiance from the sun, the spiritual sun, the ocean of bliss. the ocean of peace, blasting you and blasting out into the earth. You are this channel, this radiant light, this beacon of light, this reflecting powerhouse, this lighthouse in the universe, blasting out light from the sun, directly from the sun, directly from the sun, on to the earth. And just feel the power. You're not doing anything, you're just feeling the power. The power is coming directly from the sun. You're breathing that in and sharing that out. With a big smile on your face, a beautiful big grin, a beautiful big smile, beaming. And just feel that. Feel that, those waves of light. Imagine that sun blasting you with light and peace as you reflect it with so much ease, naturally, automatically, instantaneously. Just feeling that power, enjoying that peace. We're not doing anything, it's happening all by itself. You are the moon. That is the power. So we want to go deep into this. You can keep being the moon for the rest of the call, right?
The moon is. We're a cult. A little while ago,
right, well,
we are the superhero version of the moon is.
Yeah. So, be the reflecting light. That's the essential thing here. If this is all about me, I want my spiritual power, I want my practice, gimme, doesn't work. It needs to be reflecting the light out. The more you're giving out from yourself into the world, the more you're a channel, you're a beacon, you're a lighthouse for that energy. That's where the power comes.
So now, this is a critical point. This is a critical point you've just brought up there, bro. And I really need to expand on this moment.
Absolutely.
And this really is, we just gave them a really nice little experience of how to feel full and complete within a spiritual practice. And this is another reason why you need to be a reflector in your practice. In the Bible, the moon represents the church. It's a spiritual teaching that not many people understand. But the moon represents the church. Not the church in terms of organized religion and churches, but the church as in the spiritual translation of that word, which is the body of Christ. And Christ being the spirit of life, another name for the spirit of life. So we need to reflect the light of God, which is a spiritual light that comes from within us. We need to reflect that and be instruments of that. That's what we're being called to do. I'm on my way to do a big prayer movement, a global prayer movement. And I'm going to be praying with some Muslims, kind of like the Christian and Muslim praying together. And I was just putting a document together for some guys that are getting involved in the project and supporting it. And I was doing a synopsis, and what I generally perceive as the current situation in the world. And I just want to read you a couple of the points that I said. Generally speaking, this is what I perceive. Many Orthodox Christians with toxic, judgmental attitudes and lifestyles have fallen into idolatry, preferring to worship the image of Jesus on the cross rather than put on the full armor of God and to do the Father's will, to do God's will. So many of the so-called New Age community, repulsed by organized religion, are all caught up in a spiritual premature ejaculation, proclaiming, "I am God," in between nervous breakdowns, food addictions, an emotional hysteria whilst waiting for Jesus to arrive with a fleet of spaceships and carry them off to God knows where. That's a couple of the points I was making. Now, the point about the New Age thing is, I am God. You can't say that. Jesus didn't say he was God. None of the greatest spiritual teachers that ever walked the face of the earth ever said that. Now, why didn't they say it? Because when you're having communion, when you're having yoga in God and you're one with God, when you're enjoying at-one-ment, atonement, a seamless connection and merging with that love and that peace, that living truth and that power, there is no I. I has disappeared. There is no thoughts. There's no needs. There's certainly no addictions. There's no wants and desires. And there's no voice. So you can never say, I am God. I am is a declaration of the ego. And we really need to be on point with this, because there's so much spiritual disinformation in the world leading people further and further and further into spiritual ego and creating all sorts of nonsense, suffering, and prolonging addictions in all manner of shapes and forms. So I'm really glad you brought that up and introduced that little moon meditation there. That was beautiful, Mike.
Yeah. And you know, I just want to underline what you just said there. There's, you know, there's so much nonsense around in the world in terms of spiritual egotism, you know. It's like it's become a fashion nowadays to sort of be into some sort of spirituality rather than a genuine practice for a lot of people. It's unfortunate, and there's a lot of... David Hawkins says something like 85% of all the spiritual teachers in the world are non-integrous and they'll lead you away. 85%, you know. So be cautious of who you listen to. That's the main thing. And understand that you are a spiritual being and you're connecting to this powerhouse, this source of light, this divine bliss. You are also a being of love and light, but you're like connecting to the power station. You're like charging the battery. You're like, you know, returning back to your energy by plugging in, by tuning in, by feeling that, by being the moon. And a lot of people that we talk to, they think they are God, which means if you think you are God, how can you connect to the power station? If you're a battery and you need to plug into the wall to get charged, you know, but if you think you are everything, I am everything, everything is everything, and all this sort of thing, it destroys your ability to connect. And without connecting, you can't tap into the power. And without tapping into the power, you can't overcome addictions. So if you think I am God, and if you have these sort of vague ideas about spiritual practice, you actually will never be able to overcome your addictions. This is absolutely critical, because these little misunderstandings completely screw up people's ability to change their lives. And it's a big error. It's a very, very dangerous thing. So not only is it disrespectful to say this sort of stuff, that, you know, I am God and all that, but also it doesn't work and it's not going to lead you anywhere. So we want to just try and help you out of that situation. And also, a lot of people, they say things like spirit's guiding me and all these things. I think it's good for us to get a bit clearer about what we're talking about here, and realize that you're a spiritual being, whatever word you want to use is fine, and you're connecting with this energy, this higher power, this divine light. And once you realize that there's these two things and you're connecting with that source, like just like the sun, we don't say, I am the sun. The sun's over there and the sun's blasting its rays on the earth. And if the sun, you know, stopped blasting its rays, everyone would be dead within a few seconds. You know, it all freeze to death. So the sun's over there, we're over here, and we're experiencing the sun physically. And it's the same sort of thing on a spiritual level as it is on a physical level. So it's good to have clarity about what you're actually doing in your spiritual practice so that it actually works. So if you've been doing some kind of practice, meditation or whatever, and it hasn't worked for you, probably the reason is because you've just been a bit confused with all this nonsense that's going around. that's messing with people's heads and actually not getting a result. So yeah, well done, Nick, for bringing that up. It's absolutely essential. We put a stop to this. Because one of the things we believe in is bringing back truth, bringing back clarity, bringing back Dharma to the universe. Not letting these dysfunctional ideas continue. So yeah, if you want to be full, and that's the only way to get over the addiction, then we need to tune into the power. So superhero training, we have like countless exercises, meditations, practices to help you directly tap into the source, to plug into the power, to tap into bliss. I like to call it bliss on tap. Bliss on tap. That's what it's all about.
Wonderful. So, should we talk about how to use the stress of addiction to drive your goals, dreams, and highest aspirations?
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, you need to remember the pain of it and the misery of it and just be honest, for God's sake. It's just like everyone that I know who's stuck in addiction patterns is basically miserable, depressed, temporarily alleviated from that misery by the substance, whatever it is, or the pastime, whatever it is, whether it's sex, TV, food, alcohol, cannabis, or any other kind of drug, being on the phone or Facebook, whatever. We just keep going on and on and on down the list. Or if it's me, yeah, as long as someone's there to listen to your story and, reflect back to you how awesome you are or whatever, when they're not there, in the silence. So, let's just be honest, for God's sake. It's a time to be really, really honest now. We've got to be like radically honest with us. This thing that we're aligning with, that it's only a breath away. It doesn't take some, massive decades of penance to get in tune with this thing. It's there. You can get in communion and then be enjoying full freaking bliss in three breaths if you know what you're doing. But then it's a choice of whether you bring yourself back into that, when you're not in it, because obviously we're going to oscillate out of it, because we're in a vibratory, physical world. Everything vibrates and oscillates between two polarities. That's just the way things are. So the spiritual warrior understands this and has the wherewithal and the tools and the skills to bring himself back into alignment with this wonderful energy. And so we need to be honest. This is a living truth that we're communing with. So we need to be truthful about our addictions and see where the pain is and the stress is, and just, journal those things. And every night, this is what I do. I mean, every morning, I'm in communion, and throughout the day, I'm taking the breaths and bringing my heart in love and gratitude and appreciation. And at night, I get down on my knees and I bring my hands together in front of my heart and I apologize. I say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for ignoring you. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to my higher self. I'm talking to the spirit of life. I'm talking to my father, to my mother, to my brother, to my lover. I'm talking to the thing that made me, the thing that I came from, the thing that I've never left. And I, Nick Good, is just this little guy that's running around the world. I get down on my knees and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for ignoring you. I love you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me. And I think about everything in the day. I reflect on the day and I go back through the day. And I catch myself where I've been angry, where I've been jealous, where I've been lustful, where I've been greedy, where I've been selfish, where I've been ignorant, where I've been rude, where I've been doing this, that, and the other. Whatever, I just catch myself on all those little points. And I just hold myself up to the light of truth within myself. And I say, sorry, I'm sorry. And I ask for forgiveness. And I get cleaned. I love you. Thank you for loving me. And you don't even have to say the words. It all boils down to an attitude. You know, like I was saying before, we have a model, we're communicating a model. But your spiritual practice essentially boils down to silence and absolute intimacy in your own private little space. And it's your relationship directly with the spirit of life. That's what it is. And it's a loving relationship. It has so much love. All you have to do is offer yourself to it in the right way. And that is a blend of humility, which is why it's good to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and gratitude and love. And it responds to that instantaneously. And we're talking about, you know, an almighty power that knows what you want before you even know it yourself and has given it to you before you even ask. And all you have to do is basically at the end of the day, just step into it with the right attitude, with a lot of gratitude. And it just nourishes you with everything and wipes away those things that if you're honest and you're checking yourself, then it really helps you with the continuity, and it really gets you, you know, really honest in terms of the face of your own addictions, and it busts your ego, because your ego, that sabotaging element of your ego, will be whispering in your ear and giving you a long list of good ideas of why you should go and get that stuff, or why you should go eat that shit, or why you should go down there and get back into that dysfunctional relationship, or why you should still stay in that crap job because you need the money, or whatever. Your ego will, sabotaging element, will give you a lot of good reasons, and it is in the inner sanctum. It's whispering in your ear the treachery of the saboteur, the traitor within us is in the inner sanctum. That's what the story of Judas, the relationship in Judas and of Jesus, that's what mythologically that's being communicated through that story, that there is one of your inner sanctum is going to betray you, and that is the sabotaging element. You can turn that into a positive. You can receive the gift from that. It's wired into the archetypal challenge of a spiritual warrior. It's just part of the deal, and it's good news when you receive the gift. If you can't receive the gift and it's still driving you in the wrong direction, the news just gets worse and worse and worse. So get honest, hold yourself up into the light and into that love at the end of each day, and really listen to yourself, what you're saying, and take it to heart, and give thanks and pray for that liberation. Ask for it, ask and ye shall receive, and have a really good night's sleep, and then get up in the morning and get yourself connected again, and your life is going to start transforming exceedingly rapidly.
Absolutely. So that's what you can do for 21 days. You know, do exactly what Nick just said for 21 days and practice being the moon, reflecting that light for 21 days.
Wonderful.
And you'll see, you'll feel, and you'll see around you the shift, the practical shift, real shift in your life, because you won't feel the need to, you know, keep acting out all these different things, because you're actually feeling really good on the inside. That's the whole thing. Once you feel good, then all this stuff doesn't mean anything to you.
That's right.
The whole reason we get addicted is because basically we're bored, and we're stressed and anxious, and we're like, and our life is not the way we like it. Our life is sucks. It's a crap life. Yeah. People who have a wonderful life, who love their life, who are happy about their life, don't need anything. That's the thing. So the question.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what it comes down to.
But even if your life appears to be functional, that's why I was saying, just because we are adapted to a dysfunctional society, we shouldn't get so excited about that. Even if your life appears to be, you've got your shit together, you're generating cash, you've got an income, blah, 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 you're still addicted to a bunch of bullshit. And you know you are, if you are. So be honest about it. And the reason you are addicted to a bunch of bullshit, even if you are well adjusted to this society, is because you don't have this inner connection. And that's it. And that's just the basic truth of it. So that's what we're into in superhero training. Well, I think we've said as much as we can do to, really convince you. You're going to either be, disconnected from this call, or you're going to want some more.